Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan marhaba. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Covered Pearls with me, Zakira Ansarmia. It is a Monday afternoon and subhanAllah, just a month away from the beautiful days of Hajj. So if you look at the date today, it's the 24th and inshallah around the 24th next month, 24th of September, we should be celebrating Eid al-Adha, inshallah. So, time has really gone by really quickly. Just not long ago, we were speaking about having left the Mubarak month of Ramadan, and already we're looking forward to the days of Hajj, the days of Eid al-Adha, etc. So, my beloved listeners, what more can we say other than to prepare ourselves every day for that inevitable journey that we are going to take one day, and that is the journey to the Qabr. Time is moving by so quickly, and you know, we all are getting so much older and all of that, that there really is not much time for us to just sit back and think that, no, when I get older, I'll do it, or I'll do it next month, or I'll do it next time, and put things off, especially dini matters, things that we need to do to spiritually enhance ourselves. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to treat every day as though it is our last and to make the most of every day, inshallah. What can you expect on this program, Covered Pearls, with me, Zakira Ansarmia? I will be with you until 3, inshallah. In the first half of the program, we normally do our... In the second segment of the first half, we do a Sahabiyah focus, and today we're not going to be specifically looking in the life of the Sahabiyah, but rather a pious woman in our past, and we will be looking at Sara radiallahu anha. So because the days of Hajj are slowly approaching, I thought let's look into the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and more so into the life of the ladies that were in his that made up part of his story. So we will be looking into the life of Sara radiallahu anha today. And then in the first segment, yes, as you know, there is the inspiration that we take from Surah Noor. Today, inshallah, we will be speaking about, or at least concluding the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the past few weeks now, 3 weeks actually, we've been speaking about the various creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how pondering upon them makes us realize what a great and mighty creator we have. So yes, today we will be concluding that ayah. And then inshallah, in the second half of the program, we have two segments as well. In the first segment, we will be discussing sights and sounds around the Haramain. Today in particular, we have concluded the discussion of what the Kaaba is. Now we will be speaking about various other areas around the Kaaba. And in the second segment, your female masail. So your Hajj female masail, as well as all the other female masail that you've been sending in to me throughout the week. So keep tuned. Inshallah, after the break, we will start off with Surah Noor.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia-compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top-performing Sharia-compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 27-4.com. 27-4 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. On the authority of the son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been ordered to fight against people until they testify that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and until they perform the prayers and pay the zakat, and if they do so, they will have gained protection from me for their lives and property, unless they do acts that are punishable in accordance with Islam, and their reckoning will be with Allah the Almighty. Related by Al-Bukhari.
The cheaper, faster, and safer way of cooking. Yes, that's Snappy Chef. Snappy Chef specializes in a wide range of induction stoves, including a two-plate Snappy Chef gas stove, top quality cookware, kettles, and much more. Phone Snappy Chef in Pretoria on 012-997-1612. That's 012-997-1612. Or visit www.snappychef.co.za. Snappy Chef, the cheaper, faster, and safer way of cooking in South Africa.
Santak, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Kuku Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. Schedule for the KwaZulu-Natal province is as follows. In Escort on the 24th of August, 8 Wagon Road, contact 083-578-6134. The technicians for the KZN region, Kasim Variaba, 076-934-3138. Or Ismail Henry, 073-372-0646. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
Triple BEE, Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment. How about Best Business Behavior, Exemplary Excellence? Have you had a good or bad experience as a client or customer? Or have you observed good customer behavior while running your business? If so, share your story and here's one way to do it. Submit your experience of no longer than 200 words to ecofin@islamsa.org.za. That's ecofin@islamsa.org.za. And your story can be read out on the weekly The Tajir Hour. Only on Radio Islam International. Submission requirements. Stories should not contain real names of people or service providers. Stories should be submitted no later than the last Friday preceding the regular Tuesday at Tajir Hour. Please note that Radio Islam International reserves the right to select, edit, and air submissions.
يا لؤلؤا قد صان عفتها القمار بين السفور وبينك حجب الفخار يا لؤلؤا زاد العفاف مريقها
Welcome back. This is the program Covered Pearls and you're with me, Zakira Ansar Mia. Yes, Alhamdulillah, this is the program in which you can send through all your female masail queries. So if you have any queries lingering at the back of your mind that you'd like answered, female masail related that is, then you can send them through to the email address za@radioislamlive.com or you could simply drop me a message on the number 061-406-2688 and inshallah I would try to answer them as soon as possible. If you would like to call me though, you could. Just please do not call me on the number that I mentioned, but rather contact me and inshallah I will give you a number to call me because some queries are just not possible to be, for you to ask them on the SMS or WhatsApp number and you'd rather have me answer them personally. So that's no problem at all. I would be happy to do this for you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Let's go into our inspiration from Surah Nur today, and today we speak about the creation of man and creatures actually in particular. But before I do that, let's do a quick recap. So what was it that we were speaking about last week? And in last week Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us about the creation of the clouds, remember? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us how He brings the clouds together and how the formation of the clouds then, as they come together together, the wind picks up and they bump together. And when this happens due to condensation, then the rain falls. All of this was explained to us so beautifully in the ayat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also at one point said to us that in some of the clouds there is barah, there is snow, and this is how the snow comes down. And, you know, in it there is this coldness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. So very, very beautiful ayat indeed. And then towards the ending of our lesson last week, we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuqallibu al-layl wal-nahar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shortens the days and the nights, and that is how we have varying seasons, etc. So such lovely ayat, and this is the inspiration that we took last week. Well, if we look into today's ayah, there's also so much that we can learn from today's ayah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 45th ayah of Surah Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ كُلَّ دَابَّ مِمَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every creature from water. Now when we think about this water, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about here? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another ayah, you know, the ulama tell us that the ayat of the Quran, yufassiru ba'daha ba'dan. So some of them explain others to you. So in another ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the creation being created from mimma in dafiq, that we have all been created from this dirty kind of fluid, from this kind of fluid that, you know, we would find despicable to even touch or So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously speaking about the semen and the sperm of a man here, right? So here Allah says that all of creation was created from this water. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ بَطْنِهِ. So some of the creation walk upon their stomachs. They crawl upon their stomachs. They slither upon their stomachs, like the snakes, etc. Like some little bugs and slugs, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشَ عَلَىٰ رِجْلَيْنِ. And some walk upon 2 feet, like human beings, like birds. So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala getting us more and more intrigued in this ayah. And then finally he goes on to say, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشَ عَلَىٰ أَرْبَىٰ. And there are those that walk upon their fours. Like, you know, the cattle, the sheep, the camels, all those kind of animals. As well as the lions, tigers, predatory animals, many animals walk upon fours, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concluding the ayah so beautifully, says, يَخْلُقُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَى. Allah creates whatever He wishes. So it is for Allah, in His knowledge, to create. Therefore, He has no restriction on the way He creates. Allah creates however He wishes, right? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah is all capable upon anything. Allah is all capable upon everything. This is why it is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear listener, my beloved sister out there, this is why it is possible for Allah to do anything, to create creation in all types and forms, to fashion us in various ways. This is why, my beloved sister, my dear listener out there, when we have a problem, when we have a difficulty, we know that there is only Allah that we can turn to and we should turn to, because it is only this creator of ours that can do anything and everything without the help of anyone. This is why even when we are trying to conceive, we should turn to Allah, because He is the fashioner, He is the creator. This is why if we have conceived and if we want to give birth to a normal and healthy, pious child, turn to Allah, as He is the only one that can make sure this child that is born will be fashioned, created in the best of forms. You know, not so long ago, I heard of an incident where someone was told that their child was going to be deformed when they were born. And subhanAllah, with the du'as of family and friends and, you know, many, many people that came to find out about this, when the child was born, amazingly and miraculously, through the absolute vision and, you know, wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this child was born totally normal. So subhanAllah, Allah can do anything. Don't ever give up hope. Don't ever lose hope in the, in the bounties and in the creation of Allah and in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do things. In His might and His power, don't ever give up hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of anything. Then, my dear listeners, our final ayah that we're going to conclude with today is the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He guides us, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down and He has revealed clear ayat, manifest ayat. Right? Why? وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Because Allah has wanted to send down these ayat clear and manifest for us so that we may be guided. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want for us to have to think and ponder and spend much time trying to figure out what ayat mean. And we know that there are ayat which, if they are not explained to us correctly, then we may not be able to understand the gist of these ayat. And hence, it may be a bit difficult for us to understand these ayat. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He sent down unambiguous ayat. And the ayat, like how I explained to you now, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created various forms of life and how He created various creations. And the reason for this is simple. It's because Allah wants us to know that these creations that Allah created, there was no difficulty in Him creating these creations. And like this, Allah can create anything at any time because everything is at His disposal. All He needs to do is say kun and fayakun. He needs to say be and the creation comes into existence. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this final ayah, in the final ayah that we are doing today, in the next ayah, ayah 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He made certain ayat so clear and so easy for us to understand because He wanted us to be guided. He wanted us to see the light of hidayah. He wanted us to understand that this Quran is a book that we can pick up at any time. You know, especially when you find that you're feeling all perplexed and you're feeling down and you feel confused and you want some guidance and you want to be pulled and you want to have this connection with Allah once again. Open up the Quran. Sit down on your musalla and bond with your Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the recital of this glorious book of His. And indeed the ayat are so clear and so unambiguous that if we just read them with an open mind and a clear heart, we can bond with our Allah. We can understand what He's trying to tell us in these ayat. And indeed by reading these ayat and by bonding with our Creator, we will find the sukoon and the tranquility and the peace descend upon us, and we will realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed sent us this book, the Quranul Kareem, for our guidance. He has sent it to us for this peace and tranquility to descend upon us, for the sakina to envelope us. It is all in the Quran. It is waiting for us to open it. So open up the Quran and see the beautiful lessons and the meanings of the ayat, how it pops out and how it comes to you and how it really envelopes you and it wants you to read more and more of it so that you can have a more profound understanding of this book. And this is why I'm always encouraging those around me that pick up a translation of the Quran. And if you don't understand the Arabic language, first of all, we should make a concerted effort to understand the Arabic language. Go to an alim, whoever it may be, someone learned it in our community, and try and understand this beautiful language of Arabic. And more so, if you haven't understood the Arabic language, then the least we can do is pick up a translation of the Quran, a good, authentic translation of the Quran, and read through it and understand this message of your Lord. Because indeed, in this message, there are so many lessons for me and you, that on a daily basis, we can take lessons from this Quran to lead our daily life. And it's with this that I will leave you now for us to go for an ad break. When we return, inshallah, on the other side of the ad break, we look into the life of Sarah, radiallahu anha, the wife of Ibrahim Khalilullah, alayhi salam.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects, namely building of masajid, madaris, schools and dawah programs for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lillah, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Lanesia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Sedges, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedges, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Santak, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In Polokwane, on Monday, the 24th of August, number 4, Jaipur Avenue, Nirvana. Contact 015-292-0352. Technicians for the miscellaneous regions are Abed Boraji 079-810-4390 or Isa Kaunda 078-675-5425. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
Chosen for you, my beloved listeners, the story of Sarah radiallahu anha, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The reason I've chosen her story is because as we get closer to the days of Hajj, I felt that it was nice for us to look into the lives of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam and the ladies in their lives, these pious women radiallahu anhunna. Let's look at their lives and see what was it. So inshallah, in the next few programs, what you can expect here on the Monday afternoon in the segment is, we are going to be speaking today about Sarah, then we will speak about Hajar, then we will speak about the wives of Ismail alayhi salam. Yes, he too had wives, and he had two wives. We will speak about each one of them on a different week. And I want to look into their lives, and I want you to understand why they were so significant in our history and what lessons we can learn from their life. So let's then look into the life of Sarah radiallahu anha. Now, for those of you who wonder why I may not be saying alayha salam and why I'm saying radiallahu anha, it's because many ulama tell us that yes, there was an understanding that these women were also from the among the Anbiya, but the correct interpretation is that no, they were not from among the Anbiya, but rather the Anbiya were only male and these women were pious women of our history, of our past, and therefore we address them as radiallahu anha or anhunna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. So let's look into her life. While Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah radiallahu anha were going on a journey towards Al Taiman land, they passed by the territory of a tyrant in Egypt. Someone said to the tyrant, "This man Ibrahim is accompanied by a very charming lady." So he sent for Ibrahim and asked him about Sarah, saying, "Who is this lady you are traveling with?" And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "She is my sister." Ibrahim alayhi salam was not speaking a lie, because in actual fact, every Muslim man and lady are brother and sister in Islam. Ibrahim alayhi salam went to Sarah and said, "O Sarah, there are no believers on the surface of the earth except you and me. This man asked me about you and I have told him that you are my sister in deen. So do not contradict my statement." The tyrant then called Sarah, and when she went to him, he tried to take hold of her with his hand. But his hand got stiff, and this confounded him. He said to Sarah, "Pray to your Allah for me, and I shall not harm you." So Sarah, radiallahu anha, asked Allah to cure him, and he got cured. On becoming cured, he once again tried to take hold of Sarah. And once again his hand became stiff, just as it was, or even stiffer than before. And this left him more perplexed. He again asked Sarah and requested from her, "Pray to your Creator and I will not harm you." Sarah asked Allah again, and again Almighty Allah returned his hand to its good and healthy form. He then called one of his guards who had brought her and said, "You have not brought me a human being, you have brought me a devil." The tyrant then gave Hajar as a slave servant, as a girl servant to Sarah. Sarah came back to Ibrahim alayhi salam while he was praying, and Ibrahim alayhi salam asked her, "Well, so what happened?" She replied, "Allah has spoiled the evil plot of a tyrannical man. A man who was an immoral person and had evil intentions. And he then gave me Hajar in your service." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu then addressed the people listening to him and he said, "This is your mother, O Bani Ismail," meaning the Arabs. Ibrahim alayhi salam meant by saying she is my sister that she is his sister in the deen. And he meant, when he said to Sarah, "There are no believers on the surface of this earth except you and I," that there are no two married Muslims in this land except you and me, because Lut at that time was with them and he did not have his wife along with him, as she was a disbeliever. Since Sarah left to meet the tyrant who called her, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was praying to Allah for his wife throughout this period, the protection that Allah gave her was due to this, and also because Sarah did the same, and she prayed to Allah to save her from this tyrant. Therefore Allah came to their aid. He helped those who were patient and persevered in his cause. It is indeed hard, except for those who have humility. Hence Almighty Allah protected her, and he made her go back to his servant and his prophet, her husband, Ibrahim alayhi salam, safely. Some of the commentators say to us that Ibrahim alayhi salam left Egypt for the land of Al Taiman, accompanied by his wife Sarah, and with them they had lots of gifts and money, as well as Hajar, the Egyptian slave girl. Then Almighty Allah inspired Ibrahim alayhi salam and ordered them to look out in all directions of the earth, because all this earth will soon be filled with his progeny. So that, my respected listeners, is the story of your mother and my mother, Sarah radiallahu anha. What a beautiful story indeed, and what lesson can we learn from her life? Yes, the lesson of perseverance indeed, and also one of absolute fortitude and absolute conviction. conviction that she had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist her, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to her aid. And it is because of this type of yaqeen that she had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did help her. So this is the type of yaqeen that you and I need to cultivate within us, my beloved listeners, my dear sisters out there, learning from our mother, Sarah radiallahu anha. So inshallah, that's where we will leave it today for the stories of the pious woman. And after the ad break, we will have our female masail discussions. Join me on the other side of this ad break, inshallah.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370, 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesha. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Where will the smart shoppers shop? At Honeybee, of course. Where else? Browse through our newly extended shop where you'll find that baking is a pleasure. At Honeybee, you'll find everything under one roof. From breathtaking floral arrangements, decadent chocolates, nutty parcels, appliances, biscuit boxes, and wedding and bridal gifts to please.
Win a Kenwood K-Mix baking machine and loads of other prizes. 10% of all baking goodies. Specials valid from the 4th and 5th and Sunday the 6th of September. Try our new molding chocolate exclusive to Honeybee.
Honeybee, our prices don't sting.
Santec, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesha, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team will be in Brits on Monday the 24th of August, 35 Scutter Street. Contact number 082-375-9375 in Lodium on Tuesday the 25th of August, 359 Mink Street. Contact number 071-878-9748. Technicians for the Gauteng region, Ibrahim Shah, 079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pirali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
يا لؤلؤا قد صان عفتها الخمار.
This one's for the ladies. Tune in to Sister Zakira's program, Covered Pearls, every Monday 2 to 3 p.m. for an informative and lively discussion on all things Muslima related. Join Sister Zakira as she hosts a Q&A session and discusses various masail related to women. Listen in for some encouraging inspiration and motivational nasiha. Covered Pearls, the program Muslimas every week.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You're listening to the program Covered Pearls and you're with me, Zakira and Sarmia. It's great being in your company this Monday afternoon. If you have any queries and questions regarding female masail, now is the time to send them in. The number is 061-406-2688 or you could simply drop me an email on za@radioislamlive.com. Your female masail queries can come in and they can be varied, whether they are regarding hayz, nifas or istihada, or whether they are regarding rules with regards to a female's hajj. And yes, alhamdulillah, for the past few weeks now, Sister Amara and myself have been doing the Sister's Guide to Hajj, both on a Monday and a Tuesday afternoon. Sister Amara, alhamdulillah, has departed for the holy lands of Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. Tomorrow, inshallah, if we get a chance, we will have her give us a little snippet. We will call her and she will, inshallah, give us some highlights of what her journey has been like thus far. For today, though, we continue with our sights and sounds from around Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. And today we speak about, we continue our discussion about the Kaaba. The last we spoke about was about the Ruknul Yamani, and I told you how it was a sunnah practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite Rabbana Atina when leaving this Ruknul Yamani and moving towards the next corner of the Kaaba. Also, how it is sunnah to make istilam of the Ruknul Yamani as well, as this also atones for one's sins. So today we go on and today we speak about the Shadrawa. What is the Shadrawa? This is the bottom of the Kaaba walls that jut out from the rest of the walls at the Mataf. The corresponding area within the Hatim, though, where people cling onto the Kaaba and make dua, is not regarded as the Shadrawa, but rather forms part of the Kaaba. Because remember how we spoke about the Hatim, a portion of it being part of the Kaaba, because the Arabs didn't have enough halal funds. So instead of building a high wall, they just built half a wall and they made this the Hatim area, right? The Shadrawa is coated with very durable marble of the highest quality and brass rings are fixed to it which number 55 in total. Then we speak about the roof of the Kaaba. The Kaaba remained without a roof for a long period of time. It was the Quraysh who first built the roof on the Kaaba, and the Kaaba presently has both a roof and a ceiling on the inside with the floor made of solid white marble. The roof has an opening measuring 1.27 meters by 1.4 meters and this remains covered with a skylight which is made of tempered glass. This allows natural light to enter and this skylight is removed when the Kaaba is washed and when the ghilaf is changed, and on these occasions the opening in the roof and the staircase are used to gain access to and from the roof. It should be noticed that this feature of the Kaaba was added in 1397 after Hijrah. The old staircase was also then replaced, and a circular aluminium staircase having 50 steps was then replaced the old wooden one. Another narration says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I would have brought the door level with the ground and made the two doors, one on the east and one on the west, so that the building could stand as it did on the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam." So this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the door of the Kaaba, that he would have replaced the doors. Remember, we said that one door is now sealed up and there's only one door that is now accessible. And these doors have been raised since they are not in line with the Mataf, but rather they are raised higher than that. The key of the Kaaba. Let's speak about that. And inshallah we will terminate our discussion on this. That is the key of the Kaaba. When the Muslims conquered Mecca in the year 8 AH, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the key from Uthman bin Talha and opened the door of the Kaaba. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out, he announced, "All ill-gotten wealth and unlawfully spilt blood from the Ayyami Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance, are now trampled beneath my feet. However, providing water for people performing Hajj and rendering service to the Kaaba shall be preserved. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the following verse. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. That verily Allah instructs you to amicably return trust to the rightful owners. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then handed the key back to Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu, saying, take this key, and O progeny of Uthman, this shall now remain amongst your descendants forever, and none but a tyrant shall take it away from you. The length of the key is about 40 centimeters. It is kept in a silken bag that has pure gold inscriptions on it. It is also changed every year and prepared in the same factory that makes the khilaf. One side of the bag bears an inscription of the ayah above, Inna Allah ya'murukum, and on the other side, there is an inscription of Amara bisan'ihi khadim al-haramain al-sharifain Fahad ibn Abdul Aziz al-Sa'ud hafizahullah. That is the custodian of the two honorable masjids. King Fahad bin Abdul Aziz was, he commissioned that this key, that this bag for the key be made. So that is about the key of the Kaaba, and that way, that is where we will leave our discussion for today. In tomorrow's Sights and Sounds from Around the Haram, we will start a discussion from the Mataf and how the Mataf was extended, etc. So that is what we were speaking about for today, with regards to Baytullah. Now we go on to some facts around Hajj and Umrah itself. So let's speak about the various types of, since many of the Hujjaj will be leaving in the next few days, some, as I mentioned, have already left. So let's speak about some facts about the actual Hajj. So the first question arises, what is the first tawaf called? And the answer is that it's called Tawaf al-Qudum. Now, what is Tawaf al-Qudum? This is the very first tawaf that a haji or a mu'tamir will make when entering the Masjid al-Haram. This is also known as your tawaf, your welcome tawaf. But remember that you don't make two tawafs. This tawaf often ends up being the tawaf that you make when you are making your umrah. So the first umrah that you will make when you enter, the tawaf that you make of this umrah often ends up being the tawaf al-qudum, right? The next question is, when does Hajj start? The answer is that it starts on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. And where does a haji start the Hajj journey from? Which place? And that is Mina. So let's run through really quickly how we spend our 5 days. So on the first day, we will start off in Mina. We will go there, we will read our salah in Makkah or Aziziyah, wherever we are, our Fajr salah, and then we will proceed to Mina. When we reach our camp, we will then stay in our camp for Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha for the duration of all these salahs, praying all these salahs in our camp and making whatever other form of ibadah we can. This day is spent in a normal manner. And there is no specific form of ibadah that needs to be made on this day, other than to stay in the camp and make as much ibadah as possible, from Quran tilawa to dhikr, listening to dini bayans, whatever it may be, but just staying in the camp is what needs to be done on this day. That is the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Then early on the morning of the 9th, we arise, we perform our Fajr Salah in Mina, and move towards Arafah. Arafah is the land of Mahshar wal Manshar, as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, where we will all be resurrected. It is also the place where on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah the Hajjis make wukuf. It is the land where the Jabal al-Rahma is, the mountain of mercy. And why is this mountain known as this? Because this is a plain where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is said to forgive every haji standing on the plains of Arafah. And when a haji returns from Arafah, it is as though all his sins are forgiven and he's like a newborn baby. So on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, what the haji will do is he will proceed to Arafah. And from after Zawal, he will make his wukuf in Arafah. That is, he will stand out on the plains of Arafah,
preferably not under a covered shelter, and he will make his wukuf, he will stand and make dua and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Then we go on to the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. So, this is what happens on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The Haji will make his wukuf in Arafah. And the engineer tells me that we need to go for an ad break, inshallah. So let's go for that break, and inshallah, on the other side of the ad break, I will round up for you the discussion of what the 5 days of Hajj entails. And thereafter, we will also take some of your female masail queries that have already started streaming in.
This one's for the ladies. Tune in to Sister Zakira's program, Covered Pearls, every Monday 2 to 3 p.m. for an informative and lively discussion on all things Muslimah related. Join Sister Zakira as she hosts a Q&A session and discusses various masail related to women. Listen in for some encouraging inspiration and motivational nasiha. Covered Pearls, the program Muslims everywhere.
This is the final segment of your program, Covered Pearls, that I share with you every Monday afternoon from 2 to 3. On this program, Covered Pearls, we discuss female masail. In this very last segment of the program, I will be taking all your queries and questions that have been coming in on your irregular haid patterns, on your what is istihada and what is not, etc. But before I take your queries, I'd like to remind you that the number that you can send those queries into is 061-406-2688, or you could simply drop me an email on za@radioislamlive.com. What you could also do is, if you would like to, you could go to my Facebook page, Zakira Ansarmi, and leave me a direct message over there, or my Twitter handle, Covered Pearls. What we are going to do before we go into your female masail queries is we are going to complete our discussion on a sister's guide to Hajj. And I was discussing what needs to be done on the 5 days of Hajj each day and the various actions. We covered on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, we said that the Haji or the Hajiya stays in her tent in Mina and she performs her Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib Salah and she makes any other form of ibadah that she can do. On the 9th, we said that after Fajr, the Haji will leave Mina for Arafah. And after Zawal, once reaching Arafah, the Haji will freshen up. And after Zawal, he will make, or she will make wukuf. Wukuf is standing, preferably on the outside of the tents, you know, in the sun. And making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness and for his mercy. Thereafter, one will remain in Arafah for the time of Dhuhr and Asr. For the Shafi'i, they will perform the Dhuhr and Asr together. For the Hanafi, we will perform each salah in its time. And just before the time of Maghrib salah has set in, we will prepare to leave for Muzdalifah. Hanafi and Shafi'i will both make Jam Salah of Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah. So we will move towards Muzdalifah, either we will walk there or either we will take the bus there. When we reach Muzdalifah, we will do two things. We will first perform Jam of the Salahs of Maghrib and Isha together, with one adhan and one iqamah. We will perform our Maghrib first, and then we will perform our Isha, and thereafter we will collect 70 pebbles. Collecting of 70 pebbles will be for the following. We will be using 7 on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, 21 on the 11th, 21 on the 12th, and 21 on the 13th of Dhul Hijjah if we are still in Mina. That's why we collect 70. 3 times 21 plus 7 equals 70. So we will collect our 70 pebbles and then we will retire to bed. When I say retire to bed, we will lay down our Haji mat and we will fall off to sleep, inshallah, under this serene atmosphere, looking up at the sky above us, you know. It's such a beautiful atmosphere on that night. We will try to get as much sleep as possible, as the next day is also a long day ahead of us. Then on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, we will wake up and we will perform our Fajr Salah within the boundaries of Muzdalifah, and we will move on to Mina. When we reach Mina, we will first perform our Rami of the biggest Jamarat. That is, we will pelt the biggest Jamarat, the Jamarat Aqaba. We will pelt the 7 stones, and then we will move off to Aziziyah, or our hotel room in Makkah, where we normally have a number and our Qurbani is done for us, and the hotel room is notified, and the hotel reception then notifies the various hujjaj that the Qurbani is done. Other than this, you can also go to the place where the Qurbani is done and watch your Qurbani being done, your Dam-e-Shukr, that is, your Dam-e-Shukr being slaughtered. And once this is done, you've pelted, you've slaughtered, now you can remove your hair. So the man will have his hair removed at the barber. He will then come back and trim the hair of his female relatives. And alhamdulillah, the first stage of Hajj is over, and the Haji can now come out of the first stage. Sorry about that, the first stage of Ihram. So how does the Haji come out of the first stage of Ihram? He will be able to take a ghusl and come out of his Ihram garments, and he will now be regarded as out of the first stage of Ihram, and he will be able to now use soap and shampoos and scented creams, etc. The only thing that is still not permissible is intimate relations between husband and wife. And that will only happen when the Haji comes out of the second stage of Ihram. So now we are still on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah. There is still one very important act that needs to be done on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, and that is the Tawaf al-Ziyara. So once the Haji has completed his Dam-e-Shukr has been done, and he removes his hair and he's come out of his first stage of Ihram, he can now move towards Makkatul Mukarrama, either with a taxi or a bus or whatever is available. And when he reaches the Haram, he will perform his Tawaf al-Ziyara. Tawaf al-Ziyara comes with a sa'i, or is performed rather with a sa'i. So when we perform our Tawaf al-Ziyara, we need to remember that like when we performed Umrah, we needed to perform a sa'i with it. We will perform the sa'i. Once we are done with that, we will then perform our 2 raka'at of Tahiyyat al-Tawaf and 2 raka'at of Nafil after our sa'i. And we don't need to shave our hair again, but rather this now has completed our first stage of Hajj. From this day on, by the time we are done with our Tawaf al-Ziyara and our sa'i, it is normally wee hours of the 11th of Dhul Hijjah already. We will then return back to our tents in Mina. And yes, it is sunnah for us to sleep on the 11th, on the 12th, and if we are still there, the 13th day, to spend these days in Mina. What do we need to do on these 3 days? Every morning, we will wake up, and on the 11th and on the 12th, we will go after Dhuhr to pelt the 3 shaitan, that is the biggest, the middle, and the smallest shaitan, Jamaratul Aqaba, Ula and Wusta and Kubra. We will pelt all these 3 shaitan on a daily basis, 7 pebbles each. That is why we collected the 21 pebbles for these 3 days. On the 11th and 12th, as I mentioned, we will pelt them after Zawal. Often after Dhuhr, the groups go and pelt. But on the 13th, we've been given some leeway and it is allowed to pelt after Ishraq. If on the 12th we have finished pelting, then we do not need to return on the 13th. But it was a sunnah practice of the Prophet ﷺ to also pelt on the 13th. So if we are around on the 13th, then why not? It is good for us to be able to pelt the shaitan on the 13th as well. and we can then complete our Hajj, we can leave. The acts of ibadah that we can do on this 11th, 12th and 13th while staying in our tents in Mina are like the ones that we did on the very first day, on the 8th day. And that is, we can recite Quran, we can perform nafil salah, we can make zikr, we can listen to bayans, you know, spiritually energizing us, etc. All this is permissible and all this should be done. And alhamdulillah, that is how our 5 days of Hajj come to a termination and come to a close. And once a Haji has completed his Rami on the, either the 12th or the 13th, then alhamdulillah, he is out of the second stage of Ihram as well. And then everything else that was permissible before going into Ihram is now once again permissible, including intimacy between husband and wife. So alhamdulillah, that is how we come to our roundup of our discussion on what the 5 days of Hajj entail for the Haji and the Hajiya, the male and female Haji. And now I am going to conclude my discussion for today with just a few queries that have come in regarding Hajj and Istihada and the difference between the two and some peculiar situations that arise. So the sister asks the question that I am a lady who is way past the age of menopause, but still from time to time I bleed. And when I bleed, it normally is after a year or at least after 18 months. So I get my so-called Hajj or bleeding, I'm not sure what to regard this bleeding as, after about a year or 18 months. What do I regard it as? Mufti Saab says that if the color and the flow is the same as that you used to experience when you were a lady that were younger and you experienced the Hajj, then indeed this bleeding is also considered Hajj, despite the fact that you are past the Shari'i age of menopause and despite the fact that this bleeding is so intermittent. So alhamdulillah, that is for the sister there, it is not istihada, but rather it will be considered Hajj. That is all we have time for today, inshallah. Join me tomorrow where we continue with the sister's guide on Hajj. Tomorrow between 2 and 3. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.